Thank you for that. Right, good evening everyone and welcome to this Community and Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee meeting. And can you please turn your phones off or put them on silent, please? Thank you. Right, first item on the agenda is the minutes of the 18th of March. Has anybody got any queries? Am I all right to say? I'm losing my voice. Am I all right to sign them? Yeah? Okay, thank you. Thanks, Jackie. Thank you. Right. We only apologies, Jackie.
Councillor Joe Nixon substituted by Councillor P. Jones.
Thank you. Any public question times? Time? No? No public questions. Councillor Session? No? Right. Members' item, which is the 5A Healthcare Overcrew and Scrutiny Committee from the Staffordshire County Council representative. You can all have a look at the county agenda and the what was on yesterday morning. We had a very, very heavy health meeting at county. I'm disappointed that we haven't got a rep here, but we'll leave that in abeyance at the moment because it's a county issue and it's a county to sort out. So I can only say to you what's on the papers. If anybody's got anything there, to send it to that email address at the moment. So let's hope it gets sorted eventually. Right, I'll just tell you a few things actually, because I sit on that committee from the borough, I'm not a county rep on that committee. I'm there as the rep from the Stafford borough rep. So, you know, we had a lot of discussions yesterday, but I just wanted to highlight one or two things I didn't bring up on your behalf. One thing I mentioned about dentistry, because I do believe we've got a lot of people, I mean, please tell me if you think I'm wrong, but dentists coming into the town and that, they're all private, and we've got a lot of people that are really on a knife edge with their money and everything, and just worrying that they've got enough to be able to go to a dentist. So that was raised, that's one thing. And the mental health, especially for children, and children in nurseries as well, you know, that we should be picking them up earlier, not waiting until they get to 7, 8 year old. So that's something else I raised. I also raised about the county hospital, and although I agree we're getting a lot more services there, but I do believe that I did say at the meeting that we have got a growing population, and I mean a growing population, with the number of houses and number of residents that's moving into the area. And would they seriously look at bringing more facilities, but more importantly, will they look at opening the A&E department at county? So that was raised as well on your behalf. There's a mental health crisis centre. I don't know whether you're all aware now of the new crisis mental health centre at the House of Bread. This was something that was brought by the Midland Partnership Foundation Trust. So, you know, just for you to be aware of that. And in 2028, 2029, they're starting neighbourhood mental health centres. But I'm told when I ask the question, the first one will be in Hanley. So, So I just wanted to bring those to your attention, and if you want to listen to the rundown of the meeting, then please get onto the and have a look at it on the county website and listen to it. So I think you find it very interesting. It was a heavy meeting. I think it went on for about nearly 3 hours, but it was a good meeting. So yeah. So I just wanted to bring those to your attention. I was going to mention it at the end of the meeting if we'd have had a rep from the county, but anyway. So, right, let's move on to called in items on item 6. No. Nothing? Right, so then we'll move on to the item 7A, the annual scrutiny business report. pages 3 to 9, and that is something that we do each year, as you probably know. Then it goes to full council, so I wouldn't think there's any queries on that. Am I right in saying so? Yeah? Okay. So that's page 9. So now we're on to item 7B, the quarterly end of year performance report, which is 10 to 23, pages 10 to 23. And we'll go through it page by page, starting at page 10. Please raise your hand if you've got any queries, and then we'll fetch the appropriate officers to the table. You're looking at what, sorry?
I'm looking at a summary of successes at Waterfall, and I just want to raise that there's a resident in my area who's a former veteran that needs to be housed, and that's been an ongoing thing for quite a while.
Do you want...
I know that's not an isolated...
Anna, case. Can you come to the table? I don't know whether you can answer that, or whether it's you deal with the British Legion, or... I'm not sure. No, I understand that, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome, Anna. But if they come through to housing options, I'm sure they'll be given the assistance that they need. We work really closely with the Shriek Legion and a number of organisations around supporting veterans. So if there's been any blockages, then please do let me know. We'll have to help.
Okay. Has anybody else got any queries on page 10? No? Page 11. Councillor Nixon.
Again, under housing, we've got some residents who really need specialised mental health support and specialised support from prison services. And because of changes within the resident, the Rented Rights Act, I think we need a new strategy to deal with this, because some of the residents aren't equipped to live in a residential setting and need some specialist support. There is an overall feeling of an aggression within society at the moment that needs to dissipate. And I know there are a lot of my residents who want to create positive change and do positive events and do positive things. But at the minute, while I've got a risk assessment that, how can I put it, that I don't feel confident with, I think we need some strategies to deal with this first before we can go on and do more positive things. So can I have some guidance on that, please?
Can you answer that, Anna? Is that something that...
And we also work in spring housing on some dispersed units as well across the borough, Rising Coast Foundation. So, as well as the Independent Foundation, there is also support of the foundation, all of which are looking at the support needs as well as the housing element as well. I understand that Councillor Nixon, you have an issue in your area. I can assure you that there is a number of partners working together intensively to try and resolve that situation. Because as well as the support needs and some of the antisocial behaviour for Councillor Nixon is experiencing, there is often extremely vulnerable people that we need to protect and safeguard, and also need to protect as well at the centre of this.
Thank you for that, Anna. Yes.
Yeah, just those people do need to be protected, and I don't think a residential area is the best place to do that. Some of the people who have gone and used the prison service have come out early, and that is really intimidating for residents. And this is a melting pot of people. I'm aware that this is a recorded meeting, so I'm carefully choosing my words. We need a proper strategy to deal with this effectively. I understand there's no more people there. I don't want it to, I don't want more people to be vulnerable because the situation's going on. And those people who are vulnerable are need better support than being placed in the residential area. We have a statutory duty to provide advice on housing, to support people who are at risk of homelessness and support people who are homeless. We also have a temporary accommodation duty for those who have a statutory duty towards. Unfortunately, we don't have control over the wider elements that impact on homelessness, so things like we've referred to around sentencing, changes to probation and changes to other services, they all impact on the homelessness service, and we have to deal with that. If we can't place people in residential areas, it's going to be a real challenge to be able to rehouse people, because clearly that is where the housing is in residential areas. So we need support.
Can I just come in there? I don't know whether you're aware, Councillor Nixon, but Midland Partnership Foundation Trust do an awful lot of work with the prison service, and probably that's something we can take out of this meeting and speak to Midland Partnership with their situation with people coming out of prison and how they work with the housing people to... am I wrong in that, Anna? Is that something that...
What I could say is Midlands Partnership Foundation Trust fund a worker who coordinates work between mental health and housing. This has been in place for a number of years now and works across the districts to be able to provide that support and to try and identify those gaps. So I think it is, you know, it's a positive working in that respect.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But I understand where, you know, I understand where you're coming from on that. What's this on page 11, Anna, award contract for housing strategy, and it's something with the county council. Is that something that
it hasn't been held up by the county council. We are in the procurement queue for it. The challenge we have got is that earlier this year government announced a new requirement, a statutory duty on our service to produce a supported housing strategy. This is different to the housing strategy, which isn't a statutory requirement. So what we have to do by 31st of March next year is to develop an evidence base to understand what the supported accommodation needs are of the borough, and then to have a strategy in place to respond to those. So that is something that is completely new. We haven't had resourcing to be able to pick them up very quickly. So we've had to pause the housing strategy, start working the supported housing strategy as well. So that is why that is showing the Red Cross, and you haven't got that new duty in here because clearly it's just come about.
Well, thank you for that. Has anybody else got any queries on page 11? No? Everybody quite happy? Okay. We moved on to page 12. Any queries on that? Everybody is very quiet tonight. Yes, Philip.
Examples on this delivery of small grants, what kind of organisations are getting them?
Okay, so a number of organisations applied. We're funding quite a range of different organisations. So Street Pastors,
We've got statutory ones at aid. We have, it's a few months ago, I'm trying to remember. I can bring a list to the committee if you'd like to have a full list.
Yes,
so
I'd be interested to see, you know, the type of organisation that's benefiting from this.
Absolutely, yeah. There's quite a wide range
yes.
of, you know, a number of different areas, both geographically, but also in relation to what they're actually doing as well.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of amounts do we get?
Again, I will, when I give the list, I can
sorry.
Put it on the as well.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay.
Could I ask, obviously, there must be a criteria for the application. Could we have that information as well? Is that possible?
Absolutely. So we had a policy that was agreed last year that was called in the last committee, where we then refined some of those criteria as well. So the final version has actually had input from this committee, which we rewrote afterwards. So, yeah, we can absolutely get that to you as well.
Right. Okay, so that's page 12. Page 13. Alison Nixon.
It's nice to hear that you've got a biodiversity strategy and a nature recovery programme from 2026 to 2023. And it's nice to hear the words nature recovery action. However, it looks to me like the opposite is being achieved. For example, we're reducing farmland by building houses on it. So I just query that, the truth behind the words.
Wow. Is that any... is there any answer to that, Anna?
I'm not responsible for biodiversity.
No, I know.
I think what I can say is obviously we have sites allocated in the local plan and we try not to prioritise greenfield. We obviously try brownfield first rather than primary agricultural
yeah.
land. But if somebody wants to speak about the biodiversity strategy, I think that's not me.
Thank you. Thank you. Right, I mean, we forgot to mention the food waste on page 13 that's mentioned there, you know, and I think my understanding is it's going quite well, apart from there's one, been one or two hiccups at the beginning, you know, where people are complaining the bins, the bags don't fit the bin and people, there's not been collected. Has anybody else got any problems with the food waste collection?
It works very well.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing and I think everybody's... Lee, I don't know whether you've got any comments on that. Seeing as Josh is not here.
Yeah, generally, the food waste service has been well received. It's done well with residents. Feedback received has been positive. There's been one or two issues we've been made aware of, but they seem to be the exceptions to the norm. So, like I mentioned, about some of the bags not quite fitting, some of the tags maybe not being present. So, we're going to pick that up. With the suppliers, but that certainly seems to be the exception to the norm, like I say. Tonnages for the food waste, early indications yet to be confirmed, but are really positive, much higher than we expected. And the same with the take up as well. So, yeah,
do we have estimates? Sorry, just
I can speak to you separately about it, but I'm not sharing the public forum. But we've got indications that the take up is much higher than the national average. So, pleasantly surprised by the feedback so far, but that data is to be confirmed. So, Joss, who can't be as well, and Craig as well, who's also on leave, they can give you more accurate figures when we've got them. So, yeah, certainly very well received so far.
Yeah. Thank you.
Personal experience
yes,
as well.
Yeah.
I was just amazed how much weight, I don't know if you've all done it yet, but the weight in the food.
I know, I have, that picture's on my pot. Crikey!
And we've tried to cut that down, but we do have some waste which we could avoid, but what it is all your peelings, apple cores, whilst at least 3 apples a day, so they're straight in there, and everything else all builds up. It really surprised me that first time I picked the food caddy up, take it, and wow,
Philip, you've got a question.
Yes, two things. First of all, getting the caddies out to the multi-occupancy premises. I keep getting a lot of people asking, you know, people that live in flats
mm-hmm.
haven't had the caddy yet.
Oh, really?
No.
I
again, my understanding was, I'll let lead on the service, but my understanding was that that was to start in June.
Yeah, yeah.
So it should be starting any day now, that hasn't started yet.
Yes. Yeah.
So for those type of properties, we're looking to roll that out.
Yeah.
So we'd imagine
So it's the teething problems,
it's
isn't it, with anything
that,
new?
That was always the plan. The plan was to launch the vast majority of residents in April, then the multi-occupancy residents, like you say, between June, just to give us a staggered approach and manage it for the year. So all being well, my understanding is that that should be rolled out.
Yeah. Councillor Powell,
it's nice that people are keen to... the other thing I was going to ask was... we're going to have a visit to the centre where this is processed. Is that any further forward? Or
I could certainly ask.
Yeah.
I know, I think Josh mentioned the last meeting, didn't we, actually? I think he mentioned last week. So,
yeah,
I'll ask Josh.
Thank you. Councillor Powell, you've got a question.
Thank you. I thought that the run out with these and the information given in the very early days was extremely good. Can I ask, are we going to be following it up? Because there is still that negativity, certainly lies or to just say, what's the point? It all goes in the same bin. Are we going to be having, say, in, I don't know, 3 months, time, 6 months, time, once it's been delivered for that length of time, sort of information that you're collating now so that we can actually take that information back out to the community and say, look, your actions do make a difference.
Yeah, so my understanding is we are going to wait a few more. So we're going to see, because we're hearing well, some residents are using more lines than they actually need to. That's some of the feedback we're getting as well. I don't know if people think, because they don't look very sturdy, I don't know if people think we're going to split, but I feel mine, like to be, like say, the weight. And I often say to Josh was here, but I put 3-4 bags in every week, you know, really trying to cut that down. That is such a waste. But the bags are full, and then when you pick them out, they don't, in my personal experience, they don't split. So we do wonder if there's an education piece there for residents around, you know, you can fill the bags. And we're going to be looking at other things as well, like what the take up is, and if we've got any intelligence on why people don't take it off, we'll maybe look at the comms piece. There probably something like 6 months down the line, we'd imagine we've got some real feedback to target that communication. But like I say, early indications are the take up's really, really exceeded expectations.
Mm.
So overall, yeah, very positive.
So
yeah.
3 bags a week. We'll be checking on
that
next time.
Next meeting, I'll be able to. I must admit, I sit here and I feel quite guilty actually, because when I first heard about it, I thought, ooh, that was my first thought. Ooh, fancy having a bin outside your kitchen. But do you know what I do love? I think it's great actually now I'm using it. And the tea bags, I love them. Out of my teacup into the waste bin. Great, you know, you're not messing around, no. Absolutely, so I love it now. Yeah. But I'm like you, I picked it up and I thought, this is going to break, it's going to come through the bottom, but no it doesn't,
no,
it's quite strong, yeah. Jack, you've got...
Thanks. I mean, I was just going to kind of echo Councillor Powell's points on, you know, it would be really great to have the information when it's out so we can kind of do some positive kind of publicity on it. I know a lot of miscommunication around the start of it. I mean, one resident rang me up saying, oh, you can't lock it, so the rats are going to break it. I'm like, I know it's a bit confusing, you just have to pull it forward rather than back to lock it. So, you know, there was some, miscommunication and definitely some apprehension towards it. But in general, I'd say I had pretty good feedback. Like I say, you can see each week that there is a high turnout, so it'd be really nice to see some kind of concrete figures on that. And I think what we need to kind of push on is, you know, how it's going to be saving residents and the council money in the long term so that we can sell it to residents that, you know, it's not just good for the planet and everything, but actually it's going to be saving you some money, or at least not a bit another reason to charge you anyway. So just want to say thank you, really.
Thank you.
With regard to the comments earlier from Councillor Powell and some of that feedback from residents about, oh, it all goes in the same truck, they all just chuck it with that. That perception's been there for a number of years. It's hard to change everyone's perception. That people still tell me that about the blue bin in the car.
It's a very underlying thing. I have to, unfortunately, my work life involves waste management for JCB, and I have exactly the same stories of what's the point, it all goes in the same truck.
You're all aware as well that if people do run out of bags, if anybody's complaining, they can go to the library and get a bag. Yeah, okay, bundle
that,
of bags.
That was, thank you, Chair.
Right, Dee, you want to questions.
My question was, we already provide a service where our disabled residents, their bins are collected, they don't have to put them out if there's nobody to put them out. Is the same thing happening for the, because I was asked that funnily enough today, will they be delivering bags? Because I know a lady that's severely disabled, can't get to the local library unless one of her carers makes a special journey. Will they be noticing and putting them for her or for them? Because there's quite a few in the, where she lives.
I think that sounds correct. So you talk about the food liner.
The food liner bags, yeah.
So, apologies if I've got this wrong, but when you get to the end of your roll, there's like a tag, you tie that onto your handle. So what should happen is the crew should put the next
set
of bags in the container for them. Yes, so.
I mean, they're really good. I have to say they're very good because there's always lots of cardboard in this one particular block, and because of medical equipment and stuff, and they're very good. They just take it even if there's not a bag, to be honest. But one of them was querying today how she was going to get, because the trouble is when people are relying on carers coming in from agency or from out of town, which a lot of them are, they don't know that our system, a lot of people don't know the system because they just don't learn it, but that they don't know it because they don't know in Stafford, so they don't know our system, and it's how we're going to replenish.
Well, I think what I'd advise, if they can try to tie that tag onto the container,
and then
put it in. If that gets missed, like the tag ends up getting used as a little waste bag by mistake, or it gets misplaced, I would suggest just calling the contact centre, and they could potentially raise it. The job would be only to drop it in next time.
Yeah, I know they've dropped a bag in somebody. A new bag for the waste cardboard, and somebody pinched it. So I'm going to ring again to get another one. And just on the point as well, I know about the flats. They're having a different, slightly different system, aren't they? They're having bigger bins or something, rather than our individual ones. They're going to have bigger bins, and that's what's taking the time.
Yeah, so the communal areas. Yeah, they'll have the larger instead of the smallish, relatively small caddies that we have outside. Will be big communal bins for them to put their.
So it's going to be communal bin for the flats, is it? You know, a big bin. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's something new I didn't know. Did everybody else know that?
No.
Right.
Sorry, Chair, can I just ask?
Yes.
Make one more comment, thank you. When did you get to the point where you were putting together your We Have Done Well, thank you very much for keeping it going. Could I suggest that we do another re-education, similar to the leaflet that went out first time, things that can go in, the way you can get the bags, just to reintegrate and get the message across the second time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was page 13. Let's move on to page 14. Any queries on page 14? Councillor Nixon?
I'd be interested.
Thanks, Lee.
It's saying there's two things on here. First of all, it says that Keele University delivered 3 training worships and workshops in the first quarter to senior service members and elected members, and I'd like to know what that was. And my second question is, again, it's saying completed nature recovery strategy entitled Biodiversity, but again, what I can see is house building on farmland, so that's 2 questions.
Who can answer that, Hania? Thanks, Gabrielle. Hello.
Hi,
nice to see you.
And you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Oh, you're most welcome. I'm very happy to be here. So I can answer the first question that you've got, Councillor Nixon, around the training. So we had a series of training events. Was it last year? May have even been a year ago. It feels like a very long time ago now. Where we got together, cabinet members, members of our senior management team, and we looked at climate change through the lens of local authorities, what we can do, what pragmatically we can do, because obviously there's a whole range of things that we have no funding to do. And it was a discussion with ourselves in the university. and they came in for three sessions. I think two of them were in person, one of them was online, and it was led by I'm trying to think what the title of this senior member of the university. So she's called Dr. Rosa Fernandez Martin, and she is, I think, what she's called is a climate change economist. So the things that she talks about are very practical, and we've rolled that into our strategy in the way that we work.
What did she suggest?
Well, it was less about what she suggested, it was more about us having an understanding of what we could achieve. And that's all in our climate change action plans, which are on the website.
What is being achieved is house building on farmland, which is the opposite.
Noted. Thank you.
Will that be, you know, we said about elected members, will the normal members, shall I say, not the cabinet or what have you, will they be having some feedback on that?
The members on the action plans or on the training that we have?
On the training and that.
Okay. So obviously we're not going to rerun that training, but I'm more than happy to, because the LGA does quite a lot of training on climate change, so I'm more than happy to send some information around to people. There are courses that you can book onto or that you can view on the LGA website, which are not exactly the same but similar and certainly very helpful for our understanding of climate change.
Yeah. Do you know how much that costs?
Through the chair, Nick.
Sorry, Jen.
Thank you.
I can tell you exactly how much it costs. It's £5,000.
Okay. Thank you.
We have one for each member.
Well, is that something members would be interested in or not? No? About the climate change that Gabrielle's on about, you know, that was rolled out to the...
Could I have the name of the professor again?
Yeah, of course. No, this is checking whether I remember it properly. So
yes,
it's Dr.
Yes,
Rosa.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Rosa, she's from Spain actually. Dr. Rosa Martinez or Martin Fernandez. I can send it to you, the exact details.
Mm-hmm. So members aren't even looking at it or bothered about it, no?
They'll look at it, yeah.
No. Okay.
If there's training available,
I'm sorry?
If there is training available, Chair, I would certainly be interested.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Another viewpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you can send some information out to us all, that would be up. Thanks, Gabrielle. Okay, so that page 14. So now we're on to page 15. Right. Yes. Anybody got any queries? Jack?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It was just to do with the kind of the tree management strategies and everything going on around that. About I know previously we've talked about kind of like TPO management, making sure we've got everything registered, making sure it's up to date. I know there's obviously a lot of existing TPOs that I think we wrote before the most recent national TPO legislation has come out, so it means some of them are quite weak in terms of protection, meaning developers can essentially use these old TPOs to essentially work their way around them. So I was just wondering what's happened with the kind of that, you know, the TPO management and, you know, in general the kind of the tree management strategy in terms of time scales, when we can have that kind of information available, especially in a public portal, because trying to find it out yourself is a nightmare, and I'm sure it's the same for officers regardless.
Lee, is that something you can answer?
I'll try, yes.
Okay.
Again, on behalf of Joss, it's not my service area, but my understanding is that work is now accelerating to implement that tree management system. So it's been procured.
Yeah, I know this is.
Yeah, we now have it across Canacan staff, and so across both authorities, we now have that system. So the resource required to get up to speed is something we're trying to accelerate, because I'll try to remember exactly, I think it's 78,000 trees across both authorities, and these have to get uploaded onto the system. And then we are looking at it from a TPO perspective and also a tree management perspective as well. So we'll be zoning the trees based on a red, amber, green rating. We'll be listing tree works that are required, and we'll be also trying to get all the TPO information up to date and on there as well. So it's quite a big task, but that is something that we're accelerating now, and there's some resource we'll be putting across both authorities to try to get that into the right place.
Sure. So just to confirm, sorry, are you saying that the actual system is in place, it's just about getting the actual data into the system that we're waiting for at the moment?
Yeah, that's why we have the system now. We own our license to that system, so officers are using that system now, but it's not ready to go public
yet because of all the meetings with the data.
So that is certainly being worked on.
That's progressed a lot of time since last time I had, so thank you very much.
I understand because we've got a number of issues with some trees at Highfields. That it's for Highfields specifically, I can't talk for anywhere else, that we've got TPOs, it's a blanket TPO. So will that be going? Because some of those trees are need to go, to be honest. So will that go, and that's where your red, amber, and green.
No, it's slightly different. So the red, amber, green is for is how you categorise works that are required. So it goes on a number of factors, including things like footfall around the tree. Mm-hmm. So although there might be a tree that's being dangerous, it will move up the red, amber, green rating if it's in the middle of a park, for example, you know, or a high footfall area. So that will move up the red, amber, green rating. Regarding the TPOs, yes, there are a number of blanket TPOs across the borough, and we recognise that that is something that needs to be looked at, and that will form part of this review as well. So those blanket TPOs will be reviewed. But again, it's about trying to do as much as we can in the time we've got, with the resource we've got, and the number one task is to get everything we possibly can onto the system. So we could at least have something that's public facing there for TPO between now, and then we'll be looking at what all these TPOs look like and if there are any reviews that are needed for some of these TPOs as well.
Do you want to come back, Dee?
I know particularly where you live, because I used to live just behind it.
Well, there's one question I was going to ask, was about TPOs.
Yeah.
What if they're on private property, on people's gardens, you know, and that's a TPO? Where does that go? Do you have to warn them of that, or is that up to the individuals to make sure their tree's safe? Or do the county, because it's got a TPO on it, does the borough have to look at that?
Well, the borough would get involved because the individual needs to apply for work. It's under a TPO, so it would be up to that individual on that private land to be aware that there's a TPO on this tree, and if they want to carry out works on that tree, then they need to apply to the council. So you can carry out that work, but it just needs to be given authority by the council.
Yeah, my other question is really, knowing the problems we've got with trees, because we have got an awful lot, and there's a lot of work not being done over the years and what have we got enough staff and that to be able to cope with the work backlog of work that there is on trees?
Well, we're just out to advert now for a number of posts across both authorities, so there's a number of shared services roles out there. So if you know anyone who is
a tree
to look on our website or the County Council website as well. There's a number of roles up there at different levels, so we are looking to recruit coming weeks and months.
Yes, do you want to come back?
Because we've already had issues, not this year, unfortunately, but last year when it was very wet, with a tree on Western Downs actually that fell over, and I know they came out and had a look. But I think we've been a mature estate, Highfield particularly, we've got a number of trees that definitely need looking at.
I think there's a really
if there's any trees that you're concerned about or anything you need help with, just raise it either by the contact centre or directly into the tree officers and the council, and we will get someone out to look at that.
Peter, did you want to ask a question?
I had my first TPO on a tree in a house in the middle of Eccleshaw. It was in a garden. It's a very big tree, I've sent it up to the tree officer who's having a look at it. And the residents reckon it's a female yew tree. I didn't realise you're a female. But anyway, and it sheds poisonous berries, and it's got a TPO on. I thought we wouldn't save a tree that's killing, because it kills. You beat the berries, it kills pets and animals. So it's been looked at by the tree officer.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
But I thought you've got thousands of these. You don't know whether you wouldn't think it'd save a tree that's poisonous.
We used one of our most popular trees, though. It was about centuries.
Most berries that come off trees aren't good for
So, but how do you stop them killing people?
Don't eat everything you find on the floor.
Listen, if it's a woman, they're always trouble, so don't worry about it.
They're fine. Anyway, it's been looked at.
Councillor Nixon, did you want to come in?
Just that, in light of things that have happened recently, there is a tree that I'm worried about, and I have pressed the County Council on this, because it is a County Council tree, but I think I'd probably be better to take this through the house, the community.
Take it to your County Councillor on that patch.
But through the community group rather than from here.
Take it yourself as a councillor.
I have done, and it's not, still not been resolved.
Send another email, say it's urgent. Right, okay, shall we move on from page 15 to page 16? No queries? Everybody quite happy? Very, very quiet tonight.
That moment here when we're just quiet and happy.
Can I ask on 18? Sorry, is that
sorry, okay? We're on page 16. No queries on page 16? Everybody happy? Okay. Page 17? Appendix 2 now. Okay. Oops. Stuck together. Sorry.
It's a really posh paper.
It isn't. It's quite thick. Page 18? Queries on page 18? Councillor Nixon?
I'm just wondering, if a resident is housed and then due to their behaviour they're removed and then they're in a tent and then they've been given some time to consider their behaviour and they're reintroduced to the original house again. Is that counted as two or is that one in here?
Can you explain that a bit better?
Because these are all percentages, aren't they? So to calculate a percentage of something, you've got to have numbers. Yeah. So that if there's one resident that is housed in a property, is removed, and then goes back into that property, is that counted as one or two? Or is it counted more than that, depending on how many times they re-enter the property? Does that make sense?
I'll try and respond to that, okay?
Thanks.
So, the indicator here is the percentage of households who have positive outcomes secured on accommodation for 6 months. This is when we have a statutory duty to prevent or to relieve homelessness, okay? So, it is just a percentage of the people who come across the door in housing options. If we get a positive outcome, that is obviously one, and if we get a positive outcome again, if they have re-presented as homeless and there is another housing solution found for them, if two separate cases have been opened, then that will be counted twice.
Yeah, so really that is, that could really skew the figures. From what I'm seeing, people are coming in and out.
Through you, Chair, I think, however, in response to the question that's been raised, it is unlikely that people are coming in and out of housing, it is likely that they'll have gone through the whole homelessness process. So whether or not they'd have had an eviction, whether friends or family are unable to keep them in the area, if they've got insecure accommodation for 6+ months, so in a year, that's unlikely to happen twice. It depends on the individual circumstances. People find accommodation all the time, not necessarily through our service. This is the ones who've got a statutory homeless application.
Can I ask a supplementary question?
Yes, Louise.
So if somebody is in a property and then goes to prison and then goes back into that same property, is that one or two?
That that they've never been homeless. If the property is kept open for them, it's still their property.
And if they are in a house and then they are forced to live in a tent and they go back into that same property, is that one or two? Or does it depend on how long they've been in a tent for?
So, if they've been through the statutory homelessness process, we have placed them in the first house, that counts as one. If they leave that property and we have a statutory duty to find them another accommodation, and we find them accommodation again, which they have the prospect of securing for an additional 6 months, that is another number counted. As far as I'm aware, well, I'm not aware of any cases where we've counted two occasions of fulfilling the statutory homeless duty from one person.
So it's a 6 month window.
It's not quite that straightforward.
Right, shall we, can we move on now? Yeah, okay. I think we're on page 19, yeah? We've got Freedom Leisure coming to us. When is it, Jackie? Coming to us,
July, is it?
No,
it's September.
Is it September?
December.
Oh, 3rd of December. 3rd of December, we've got Freedom Leisure coming to us. Yeah. Yeah. Has anybody got any queries on page 19? No? Okay. Page 20? Pardon?
Can I have one on 19, please? That we're celebrating here that disability facilities grants have been completed and gone up.
Yep.
And yet council tax for the same residents have also gone up, so it seems a bit of a bittersweet, but it's I don't think those figures are quite as great as it could be.
I think we've got to say a big thank you actually to get this disability facilities grant, God, you've said that, out and about and what have you. I think probably the good job's been done there. So,
can I respond to that?
Yes, you can.
So, disabled facilities grants are funded through the Better Care Fund. This is money that comes from straight from central government, is passported from the county council to the borough council. It is ring fenced and it is only able to be used for this purpose. So, it's not coming out of the council tax that is locally collected. It is a central government grant.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Anna. Everybody happy? Yep, okay.
Yeah.
Right, we're on page 21. I think we've talked about recycling and bin collections and that. Have you got another one, Philip? Yeah?
Following, you know, the adverse weather conditions and so on, the number of compliments that I received from people that were pleased that they... When the bin was missed because of the adverse weather, there was information available on the website telling them when the bin was likely to be collected, and there was a lot of compliments as to how things were handled during those adverse weather conditions.
Oh, well, well done to Street Scene then and sorting that out. Good. Good. It's nice to hear positive news, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, so did I say page 21? Yeah. Okay, page 22. I find it interesting that, you know, you pick information up about, and everybody's saying that, well, not everybody, but residents are saying they're happy with the appearance in town. Is everybody hearing that? Because that's not the message I'm getting.
I like the bunker in the centre of town. I think that's useful. For
the what?
The bunker. The big hole in the middle of town. Not in the middle, but obviously. I don't play golf.
Sorry.
Sorry?
You can't make an omelette without breaking an egg.
Oh, no, he's got the
crisps.
It's all
right. Has anybody got any queries on page 22? Yes, Philip.
I've had one or two comments about the state of the street furniture in stone that needs...
Here comes Lee to answer your question.
And, you know, there's benches in the centre of the town, there's the poles, you know, the bollards and things like that.
That reminds me.
That need refurbishing and repainting. There's a bench outside the Crown and Anchor, for example, that needs a good paint. Can that be looked into?
Through you, Chair, we've actually already, a few weeks ago, ordered replacement bench and bins for Stone Town Centre and Stafford Town Centre as well. So not every single bench, not every single bin. Certainly the ones, and I don't know exactly which bench you mean outside Crown Anchor, desperate need of replacing. And the bins in particular in Stone are in desperate need of replacement as well. So we've already took delivery of the bins. The benches we're expecting delivery in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
And we'll be looking to replace. It's every bench in Stone High Street will be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Right from opposite Wetherspoons, we've got two benches there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be replaced all the way down the High Street.
Yes. Yes.
And then there's a few in Stafford, because we've got quite a few new ones in Stafford anyway because of the town centre developments that have happened recently. So yeah, we are going to replace those. As for some of the other matters, we can look into things like bollards. Some of these things are within our remit, some aren't, but we can certainly look into those others.
The other thing I was going to say was, you know, the finger posts?
Yeah.
There was someone the other day was saying that they're trying to find the police station. Because the finger post was pointing up Radford Street.
Right.
So, if you could get that removed or to save some confusion.
Isn't there still. Do we have temporary police presence near the town in the town council bit?
No, sorry? They're next to the fire station.
They're at the fire station now.
They don't have a presence in the office.
I knew they. Building was sold off Radford Street.
Yeah.
But next to Stone Town Council, I imagine that was something not put in there.
It was
for
a while.
We'll
so you can get it removed.
Don't know who's. Sorry.
Thank you.
I just noticed driving near the gatehouse today, you know, you could pass the gatehouse as if you were going to go to Cup of Char, but. Yeah, there's a crossing there. Just before that crossing on the side, there's a post. It's been dismantled, and it's just lying at the side of the road on the pathway. And I'm thinking, if any hooligans at night or anything see that loose and pick it up, it could be quite a...
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whose responsibility it would be to move it.
What is it?
You know the black stands with... don't know what you call them. It's like a bollard that protects the side of the road. They've got some outside the gatehouse. And they stand about this high.
Like a barrier fence.
Yeah, like a barrier. Yeah, and the middle of it's still there, but the outside of it's been taken off. And it's lying on the pathway, and I'm thinking, somebody's scrap dealer or anything picks it up or what, but I don't know whose responsibility. Councillor Powell, do you want to ask a question?
Yeah,
or something?
It was just to ask when the benches and bins are being replaced in the Stone and Stafford Centre. What is the process? What will happen to those items, the old items, when they're removed?
Stone Town Council have requested an interest in taking on the ones out of Stone High Street, refurbishing them and then placing them on Crown Meadow. So we've given permission for them to do that, as long as Stone Town Council agrees to the upkeep and maintenance of those benches. So that's the plan for the ones in Stone, and we've said we'll take all of them as well. With regards to the ones in Stafford, we haven't come to a decision yet. Interest in it either, but typically we would put a message out to ask if there's any parish or town council that would like them to refurbish them and take them on, and we can look at that. Or some of them, there might might be suitable for refurbishment. I've just noticed one today actually walking towards Sainsbury's along the river from Victoria Park. There's one in a bit of a state there that we didn't include, so if we could actually refurbish one out of the town and put it in there, we might look to do that. But there won't be as many staff, and I can't remember off the top of my head. It's about half a dozen, I think, something like that. But yeah, they might be open to people to request to take those on if you like.
And the bins?
Well, the bins in stone, I'm not sure if there'd be much interest in those.
It was just a sort of information or interest in the fact that they're not just going to be shoved in the tip.
No, they would.
They're going to be in estate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The chances of anybody wanting to reuse.
They will use.
I think they'll be on refurbishment. We'll look to our Viola, our typical contractor for taking waste away, to look for them to go and recycle those wherever they can. The benches that we're getting now, the composite plastic ones, so they last much longer, much less maintenance requirements as well compared to the other ones, and they look very similar.
Okay, right, page 23. Okay, my understanding is that the 106 money has been spent on for all the play areas and that. Am I right or am I wrong? And if it has, what's going to happen to all the little play parks that we've got that looking, well, best, yeah, looking rather weathered, shall we say? I spent Saturday morning actually with on the Meadows Play Park. Some of the time it's underwater, I know, but painting it with some of the residents, you know. And to be fair to Street Scene, they did provide the paint, you know, but we made a good job and it looks quite well. But I'm just wondering about the other areas and that. And I know we've all got small little play parks in our area that's looking a little bit worse for wear. So what can we do about it, and what, you know?
Yeah, the vast majority of our funding for players does come from Section 106 money. There's certain terms and conditions tied to that. So
yeah.
Spend it in certain areas, for example. So there are play parks and play areas within the borough where we simply have no budget to carry out any significant replacement works or maintenance works. So we try to do the best that we can. So yeah, it might be cleaning them up the best way we can, so whether it's just washing them off, painting, as you said, things like that. But in terms of bigger scale replacements, as a council, the vast majority of that funding does come from Section 106.
Yeah.
My understanding was that that was a decision taken by the council a number of years ago, where there were capital monies available. My understanding, I'm not before my time, so I can't call them correct or not, but I was told the council made the decision to only use Section 106 money to replace play areas. As I say, there are terms and conditions tied to that.
Yeah, has anybody got any? Yes, Peter.
I was just going to say, as a visitor to the committee, it's easy if we were to listen to the recording of this committee, you'd think that the place is falling apart, Stafford Borough. And there's so much going on. All we really talk about often is things that are wrong and gone wrong, or something's gone missing, or 1% of the work that would have been done has been missed. But there's such a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, yeah.
I'm proud of what's going on, despite what I call the bunker man. I do apologise. I meant to do the fun one too.
I know.
That's all I wanted to say. Just a lot's going on.
Well, that's not a question, is it then? That's just a comment.
Sorry, no. I needed to say that.
Okay, right. No more questions on page 23? No? Everybody happy? Right, and that is the end of that. It's thank you to the officers and that for coming. Right, so now we're going on to the work programme. Has anybody got any comments on the work programme? Yes, I know, I've got that written down. Exactly the same thing there, yeah. I mean, on the 3rd of December, on the work programme, I have asked one of the fire officers to come along at 6 o'clock before the start of the meeting at 6:30 and open it up to all members. Bearing in mind it's the beginning of the winter period and it's making sure we look after our elderly and vulnerable and what help the fire people can give to us or what advice they can give to us to make sure that we look after our people through the winter. So, you know, with your permission, I will, I think I've asked you before actually about this. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
I've already asked one gentleman, but he's off duty that day, so I've got to send it to somebody else. So they are aware that, and we've got a new fire chief. We might be able to get him to come along and speak to us. That'd be good. But it'll be open to all members, not just the committee. And is there any other comments that you want to make you aware as well that Housing Plus, Victoria Brownhills, she's the new director in this area, looking after Stafford area, and I've arranging to go with her to meet with her and take her around Housing Plus developments throughout the borough. So if there's any areas you feel that we should be looking at, please give me a buzz, let me know, and I will take there as, yeah, yes, Jack.
When you're arranging that meeting, Chair?
Pardon?
When you're arranging that meeting.
When am I arranging
it?
She's just sent me some times as when she's available, but I'll be meeting with her and driving around and just looking at the areas. So if there's any areas you feel that are any problems that you think that I should raise with her, then please let me know. I will more than happy do that. And just out of interest as well, is there any more queries on the work programme? No, can I just say to you that, and Jill will probably be in the cabinet papers, can you all have a look at your public space protection order on the cabinet papers, this week's cabinet papers on page 37 to, what have I written down, 107, about, and just see if there's anything in that area, in that, there's all the plans of all the different public protections, because some of the things are going to change. I know it's going to cabinet on Thursday, isn't it, Jill? So, but I just want you to be aware of it, of what's taking place, because one thing is about wearing masks. I'm trying to think what else is in it. I can't remember. Can you remember, Jill? Do you want to come to the table and just explain it to...
That 6 foot makes a difference, you know.
So everybody can hear.
Did you say page 37?
I mean, it's got to go to cabinet, but...
one of the new proposals, which we didn't have in the PSGOs for the last 3 years, are masks, as the chairman's just mentioned. And we don't mean funny masks or masquerade. We mean people who are wearing face coverings for no reason. I'm sure you've seen big gatherings of youths with their black masks, their black hoods, black hoodies. It can be quite intimidating. So we now are going to ask the cabinet if they will be okay with us actually having the power to ask for the face masks to be removed. Dogs off lead, dogs on lead, different areas. We've added to the areas where we have problems with dogs. Westbridge Park is one of them. I think Charnley Road as well is one of them. Alcohol, to my mind, is exactly the same as the last PSPO. Canvassing, which can be a huge problem. I'm not talking about political canvassing, I'm talking about when people... And other, in Stone we have a large religious group that comes...
And there's one in Stafford
and
they
tries to stop
very aggressive.
Yeah, and it is aggressive, and we are going to be adding that to our PSPOs. Can you think of the others?
So the thing actually is asking permission to consult. So this is the start of a period of public consultation, and it is about the problematic behaviours related to this. It's not as if, so loitering is one of them. You've already got the existing PSPO, you can't loiter in a group of five with the intent to cause ASB.
this, we're removing the five out of it, because what we're finding, or the police are finding, is that they go to a group splitter. They are still intimidating people, but actually there's nothing we can do. It's to try and nip problem behaviours in the bud at a really early stage before we go through the criminal process. So that's very much around it. We also, on the evidence that we've got available, we've got a significant problem with youth getting onto roofs in town centres. So we're trying to put something in place there to be able to give community protection warnings to the individuals if we find them on roofs. We're also working with businesses to try and protect the roofs so they don't get there in the first place, but things like that. We're also, I think as you said about face coverings, we've got that one there. The rest are very, very similar. When you mentioned about the restrictions on the dogs, it is only in the play area itself. It's not the wider parks, it's just where that play equipment is, because clearly it's a health hazard for young kids as well.
I think if you all look at those papers, the cabinet papers, and look at your areas and that, you find it very interesting. I think it's a good thing that you're trying to do, actually. Yes, Councillor.
Regarding the face masks, my residents are telling me, you know, in town where Sports Direct is now, if you went from the town centre through the Sports Direct and at the back of the shop, you know the shops there, there's one in that corner, is where these groups of people have been buying the masks from, in that one particular shop.
I don't think we can do anything about people buying the masks, but we can certainly go a long way towards preventing masks.
But if that shop's aware of the fact that we're not happy, it just... an easy way of knowing that that's where they're getting the possible. I know they can get
the
other places. But through your chat, you will get the comedians.
Oh, yeah.
I was explaining to Anna this morning. I ended up, I sat down on my own to have a coffee, and within minutes, there were seven of us, and one of them, a real wag, said, "That's it then, Jill, are we all going to be arrested?" No, absolutely not.
I think it's very interesting that, and I'm fully on board with what you're trying to do. It's the antisocial behaviour side that you're trying to curb, isn't it? So I think it's good, but I think you ought to be aware of, you know, what's taking place in your area. That's why I mentioned it. The other thing that I found interesting was about, we've talked about the fire people are coming looking after the elderly and vulnerable in the winter, but we've also got to look at the health side. We're expecting a hot summer. How do we protect our vulnerable and elderly? We get so many deaths in the summer through heat, you know, so this is something else we should be looking at as well. The heat side of it, you know, looking after. And I don't know what we can do about that, but we can probably, I don't know, raise it, put something out on the council website or something, I don't know.
I think the other problem with summer is young people getting into water and so on.
That's another
real problem.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It is. It's so many issues. So, right, has anybody got any queries then on the work programme? Is there anything that we think that we should do that we're not doing? Or, I mean, there is a list somewhere of future items. But that obesity and diabetes, that's been talked a lot again at the county, hasn't it, Jill? And you'll bear with me on that one.
Excuse me, Chairman. I'm really, really pleased to let the committee know, for those who don't already know, we've just been given the go-ahead in Stone for a junior park run every week on a Sunday.
Oh, lovely.
Which, I mean, that's going
brilliant.
To be a long way to...
Yeah, there's so much actually for youngsters. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day about football, girls playing football, and it's quite interesting that putting it out on there and asking if there's young ladies that want to start playing football and that, and then cricket as well. This is for young ladies, shall I say? I'm talking about teenagers now, or even 7, 8 years old, you know, playing cricket and football. Yeah.
Through you, Chair, Stafford Rugby Club are very prominent in promoting rugby for young people.
Yeah.
That's of either gender. I mean, my granddaughter plays rugby every Sunday. She's six.
Brilliant.
Ballet on a Saturday, rugby on a Sunday.
Just remember
which one you play.
Family orientated, yeah, and it's really good for the children.
I went down to.
I
went down to Acton Trussell. Village Hall on Saturday, and there's 365 children play football on Wildwood Park, you know, and they were having a family fun day, and I sat there and I looked round and I thought, but all these children, you know, just enjoying the afternoon together and that, and it was packed, absolutely. I think it's wonderful what we try to do. Sorry, Philip.
Part of the Stone Festival, they had this remembrance walk, and it was people that had lost relatives and all this kind of thing, and had a walk around Westbridge Park.
Brilliant.
And a number of people have said they wondered whether something could be done, perhaps once a month, to do that. They found it very
therapeutic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And shared, the chatting to people. As they went round, and shared ideas and I don't know whether that could be done once a month or something like that.
You could organise it, Philip, you're pretty good at that. So you can Right, so thank you to all the officers, thank you Jill, and thank you for all of you for coming along, and our next meeting is on the 23rd of September. And hopefully we'll have got a very big programme on that day. So thank you and good night, everyone. And I'll close the meeting now. Thank you.